A recurrent theme in many of my episodes over the last few months has been how a woman is supposed to know who to believe when a popular social media menopause influencer is the exact opposite advice from a personal physician. A few weeks ago, my friend Dr. Rachel Rubin posted a thoughtful reel along those lines and stated that women who are confused or getting conflicting information need to, quote, educate themselves to decide what's right for you. Do your own research. Well-meaning, but I don't know, unrealistic and unfair. Should a woman who's trying to get pregnant trust the fertility specialist she was referred to? Or as a savvy patient, is she expected to devour the medical literature to decide which protocol would give her the best chance of conceiving? I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, a gynecologist, best-selling author, and a nationally recognized menopause expert. When it comes to menopause, midlife, and what comes after, I'm betting you've not gotten a lot of information from your own doctor. If women are given good information, they'll make good choices, and I'm here to give you the inside information. It has taken me 4 years of med school, 4 years of residency, and over 3 decades of clinical practice and research to become the expert in menopause that I am. And I'm still learning. And when I'm reading research in a scientific journal, I'm evaluating and understanding that research with the context of what I already know. To expect a woman, no matter how educated, no matter how bright, to decide if hormone therapy is right for her, and if so, which of over 30 protocols would be best, is just not reasonable. I'm not saying that women should just blindly trust whatever a physician tells her, but from my point of view, if she's going to figure out her best course, doing research is not going to necessarily point her in the right direction. Far more valuable is to figure out how to find someone who truly has expertise in menopause to guide decisions and help wade through all the information and misinformation out there. In this episode, I'm going to walk you through the steps to find someone you can trust to fix your flashes, foggy brain, and failing sex life. The transcript for this episode can be found on my free Substack site, substack.com/@Dr. Stryker. On my Substack, you'll also find some key questions to ask during a menopause consultation to help you figure out if your doctor has a clue when it comes to menopause. You already know this, but an MD after the name is no assurance that the person to whom you're about to bare your soul and your vagina is an expert when it comes to menopause. Which is why I hear every day from women that went to their doctor with their dry johnny woes and were told, buy a lube, hot flashes, dress in layers. Tough it out. End of story. The obvious question is why most gynecologists, even really good gynecologists from great medical schools and great training programs, are not experts when it comes to menopause. It's simple. 70% of programs don't include menopause in their curriculum. If it is included, it may be one lecture or one article. I run one of the few academic menopause centers in the country, yet the doctors in that OBGYN residency program spent no time in our clinic. It's not that they didn't want to. Many expressed an interest, but their required time in labor and delivery, surgery, oncology, fertility, and high-risk obstetrics left no time for learning about menopause. Once someone finishes their training and starts to practice, the majority of patients in a general OBGYN practice are pregnant, wanting to get pregnant, or wanting to not get pregnant. For the typical OBGYN, the first time they see any real volume of patients going through menopause is 20 years into their practice, when the moms they delivered are now trading in their birth control pills for hormone therapy pills. And that doesn't mean that your own gynecologist isn't an expert in menopause. So before you cross the person who delivered your babies off the list, it is worth having a conversation to see if that person has interest and expertise. And you can start by asking a few of the "Is your doctor a menopause expert?" questions on my Substack. Every so often I hear, "I've had the same OBGYN for 20 years, and I love him, but he's a man, so of course there's no way I could talk to him about this. I want a woman doctor who will understand." As a physician, I can tell you I don't need to personally experience vaginal atrophy to help my patient with vaginal atrophy any more than I need to experience a urinary tract infection to know how to treat it. The gender of your clinician really doesn't matter. Some of the best menopause experts in this country are men that you have heard on my podcasts. Obviously, if you aren't comfortable being examined by a man or talking to a man about intimate issues, well, you're going to be better off with a woman doctor. But don't assume a woman doctor is an expert just because she has a vagina. When choosing your gynecologist, you're looking for someone who has the skills you need and whose judgment you trust. Sometimes that person's a woman, and sometimes it's a man. In any case, regardless of gender, if your own gynecologist is clearly kind of clueless when it comes to perimenopause, hot flashes, and hormone therapy, it's time to branch out. But where to start? It's confusing. A menopause expert might be a gynecologist, or an internist, or a urologist, or a family practice doctor. It's also very possible that the best person to help you may not be a doctor, but rather a non-physician clinician, such as an advanced practice nurse or a physician's assistant. An advanced practice clinician often has more menopause training and is likely to spend more time with you than most physicians. I know this firsthand because I utilize advanced practice nurses and physician assistants in the Northwestern Medicine Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause. Midi Health, where I'm the Medical Director of Community Education and Outreach, has an amazing staff of advanced practice nurses that have far more menopause training and expertise than 90% of physicians. The person with the most degrees or the most letters after their name is not necessarily the most knowledgeable. Sometimes those titles and letters don't mean a whole lot or can be misleading. I mean, doctor in front of a name might be a physician, but might also be a dentist, podiatrist, psychologist, or an English professor. If you're looking for a physician, look for an MD or a DO. MD stands for medical doctor. Anyone who's graduated from medical school is allowed to put MD after their name. DO stands for Doctor of Osteopathy. An osteopath's training is essentially identical to an MD's and should be considered equivalent. Board certification is the gold standard that assures you that a physician is an expert in a specialty or subspecialty. Licensure is not the same thing as board certification and doesn't guarantee expertise in a specific field. It basically just tells you that someone graduated from medical school and hasn't committed any felonies, although committing multiple felonies is apparently no longer a disqualification for important trustworthy positions. But I digress. The American Board of Medical Specialties, ABMS, is the medical organization that oversees physician certification by developing standards for the evaluation and certification of physician specialists. To be board certified, a doctor must complete a post-medical school residency in his or her specialty that's been recognized by the American Board of Medical Specialties, followed by a written and oral examination. If a doctor wants to subspecialize, he or she must then complete additional fellowship training after finishing residency. For example, a board-certified gynecologic oncologist went to 4 years of medical school, then completed a 4-year residency in obstetrics and gynecology, followed by a 3 to 4 year fellowship in the subspecialty of gynecologic oncology. Menopause is not a subspecialty like fertility or gynecologic oncology. There are no fellowships in menopause, and there's no such thing as being board certified in menopause. Strictly speaking, reproductive endocrinology and infertility, commonly known as fertility specialists, get menopause as part of their fellowship training. But with rare exception, the only menopause patients most fertility specialists see are women who want to get pregnant post-menopause, not women who are wanting to get rid of their hot flashes. All specialists and subspecialists must maintain board certification by taking medical courses and passing tests to prove that he or she keeps up to date. A board-certified gynecologist has the letters FACOG after his or her name, which means that that person is a fellow in the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I'm board certified, but I rarely put FACOG after my name since no one knows what it means. In order to maintain my board certification, every year I need to read a set number of medical literature articles and answer questions about them. And then I have to take a recertification exam every few years. The only way to verify that a doctor is board certified is to go to the American Board of Medical Specialties, ABMS website. All you need to do is search, "Is my doctor board certified?" and the American Board of Medical Specialties site comes right up. By the way, anti-aging is not is not a specialty recognized by the American Board of Medical Specialties. Certification in anti-aging does not require a residency. There are no residencies in anti-aging. All that's required for certification from the American Board of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine is to complete an online self-learning course, pass a written test, and a one-hour oral exam where they are presented with one, yes, one case to discuss. When I see doctors that advertise that they're double boarded or triple boarded, it sounds impressive. But often that person did one residency and then did some additional online coursework that awarded a board certification. A board certification like anti-aging that is not recognized by the American Board of Medical Specialties or any academic institution. What's also bizarre and pretty scary is that in the compounded hormone world, many doctors who are legitimately boarded did their training in specialties that have nothing to do with gynecology, women, or vaginas. This is particularly rampant in doctors who prescribe pellets and compounded hormone therapy and are board certified, not in gynecology or endocrinology, but inexplicably, wait for it, emergency medicine. I have spent enough time in ERs to tell you that even women with the worst case of hot flashes and vaginal dryness do not go to the emergency department. So it's a mystery to me how these doctors are such experts. Before you decide to trust a doctor who claims to be an expert in hormone therapy and brags on their website about multiple board certifications, it's worth a minute of your time to go to the ABMS.org page and see exactly what that person is boarded in. So once you determine that someone is licensed and boarded in an appropriate specialty, what's next? Well, it's generally a good sign if a physician has an academic appointment at a medical school. Faculty ranks such as instructor, assistant professor, associate professor, and professor depend on physicians' level of involvement in teaching medical students, their research, and the number and stature of their publications. I'm a full professor, and it took me years to get there. University affiliation means it is more likely that that person does research and teaches other doctors. If a doctor has no university affiliation, does that mean he or she isn't an expert? No. Many physicians who have no university affiliation are excellent doctors who keep up with advancements in their fields and give very good menopause care. All right, so I've established that there are no formal training programs in menopause. So how does someone become a menopause expert? My story is pretty typical. I graduated from my residency program, where, to my recollection, we had no lectures on menopause, and joined a general practice where I delivered over 1,000 babies and routinely treated menstrual cramps, irregular periods, sexually transmitted infections, and vaginitis. I also did a lot of surgery. In fact, after about 15 years of doing general OBGYN, I stopped delivering babies and limited my practice to gynecology with an interest in minimally invasive surgery, hysterectomy, and alternatives to hysterectomy. And that's when I wrote my first book, The Essential Guide to Hysterectomy, which is a guide for women who've been advised to have surgery. During that time, I was one of the busiest gynecologic surgeons in Chicago. Because I was doing so many hysterectomies and ovary removals, I saw a lot of menopausal women. So while I knew more than most gynecologists about hormone therapy and thought I knew a lot about menopause, in retrospect, I wasn't really a menopause expert. It was only when I started writing my Sex RX book that I realized I had a lot to learn. So I did. I went to a ton of conferences, I exhaustively read journal articles, and I became active in the North American Menopause Society, now known as the Menopause Society, where I hung out with other menopause experts. And then soon I was one of the go-to experts that was asked to lecture at medical conferences, review articles in scientific journals, and participate in research. By the time I was asked to be the medical director of the Menopause Center at Northwestern, I was ready to give up my general practice and devote all my time to menopause. Now, you don't need to find someone who only does menopause to find someone who knows a lot about menopause, but you are likely going to have to do some legwork to find a clinician who's a real expert when it comes to hot flashes, hormones, and other consequences of low or no estrogen. And a good starting place is to head to the Menopause Society website, menopause.org. The Menopause Society is a nonprofit scientific organization which promotes menopause education for clinicians. If someone's a certified menopause practitioner of the Menopause Society, it means they passed a written exam about menopause, hormone therapy, and midlife health. In order to keep up and maintain that certification, a clinician needs to take a certain number of continuing medical education courses every single year. Advanced practice nurses and physician's assistants are also eligible to take the test and be designated as a TMS certified menopause practitioner. Now, I wish I could say that all TMS menopause certified practitioners are trusted experts, but there are plenty of clinicians on the site who pass the test, but really don't practice according to science-backed recommendations. Many palate pushers use the credibility of the certification to get patients. But menopause.org is a good place to start, and most clinicians on their site do practice scientifically based menopause care. It's always interesting to see if a doctor has published any scientific papers related to menopause. Go to PubMed, the link is in the program notes, put in your doctor's last name and first initial, and see what pops up. I mean, there are many excellent clinicians that have never published a thing, but if someone has published, it's a pretty good bet that they have some level of expertise. Now, asking one of your doctors for a referral is hit or miss. They may know who the experts are, but they may also just be giving you the name of their favorite OBGYN who delivered their kids, so you still need to check it out. Now, most hospitals have a physician referral service and will help you find a doctor. Keep in mind that the people who work in hospital referrals are obligated to make referrals to all the physicians on staff. So if you just call up and say, hi, I have a dry vagina, which OBGYN is good, you'll most likely be given the name of whoever is next on their list. You need to ask specific questions that will lead you to the doctor who's most appropriate for you. For example, instead of saying, I need a gynecologist because sex hurts like hell, you might try, I'm looking for a board-certified gynecologist who's been in practice for at least 5 years. I would like someone who takes care of a lot of menopausal problems, no longer does obstetrics, and has identified themselves as having an interest or expertise in menopause and sexual issues. Many academic medical centers have clinics that are specifically devoted to menopause. Now, hospital referral services are not the same as commercial referral agencies that operate independently of hospitals. Referral agencies that advertise in magazines or on TV are not reliable sources. Participating physicians pay to be part of the service and tell the service what to say. As with any paid advertisement, healthy skepticism is appropriate. And while there are exceptions, in general, most menopause experts are no longer delivering babies. So if you show up and everyone in the waiting room looks like they're about to go into labor any minute, it's generally not a good sign. What about Yelp, or one of the other online consumer search sites? Seems like a reasonable approach. After all, wouldn't someone who's already been to that doctor be the best judge of how approachable or knowledgeable he or she is? Actually, no. While it's reasonable to use Yelp to see if people liked a certain nail salon, it's probably not the best strategy to find a menopause expert. Consumer ratings are no better than asking strangers on the street what they think. Typically, there's no more than a handful of reviewers who are rating the doctors. The doctor sees thousands of patients a year, and the experience of two or three people is hardly reflective of a typical experience. People who've had a bad experience are more likely to fill out a review than people who had a good experience. And you have no idea who's writing these reviews or what their agenda is. A glowing review may be from the mother of the doctor. A scathing review may be from a disgruntled patient or employee. It's become common for online profile management companies to post positive reviews for businesses and get rid of the bad ones. And even if reviewers' comments accurately reflect their experience, comments are usually more about how they were treated than about the skills of the doctor. More than one 5-star review has been posted because the doctor was really friendly, had a great staff, and offered free samples. A 1-star review may be because they were kept waiting or had a run-in with the receptionist. And then there's the savvy friend. That friend, the one who you can rely on to tell you who has the best cappuccino, the freshest sushi, and where to get a decent massage. And she often is the one to tell you she has the best doctor who helped her when she was flashing all night and had a vagina like a Venus flytrap. And she may be right, or she may be wrong. So sure, hear what she has to say and then do your own due diligence. It does help if that friend is a medical professional who has some inside information on who's who. Checking out a doctor's website can be helpful and often will give insights into their education, professional organizations, and research. A website is also where you're going to find some red flags that tell you this person is more interested in making money than in practicing science-based menopause care. I mean, red flag number one is if the doctor promotes hormone pellets instead of FDA-approved commercial products. And I'm in the middle of writing an article that will be on my Substack site next week explaining the problem with pellets and the pellet pushers. Red flag number two is any mention of balancing your hormones or comprehensive hormone testing. That's a bad sign, a really bad sign. Let me be clear. There is no such thing as hormone balancing. Hormone balancing is not a medical term. There are no scientific studies that address hormone balancing, and there are no classes in medical school on the topic of hormone balancing. It's a made-up term. The concept of hormone balancing is nothing more than a strategy to justify doing useless hormone levels and selling worthless products and concoctions. Along those same lines, red flag number three is pushing procedures and products that are not covered by insurance. Some are ineffective, like the Imsala chair for incontinence, and some are just inappropriate for a gynecologist to offer. Facial Botox, fillers, lip augmentation, and liposuction are big money makers, but not part of gynecologic training, and from my point of view, not something a menopause specialist should be offering. I mean, there are exceptions to this rule, and I know some physicians who offer these procedures who are actually excellent clinicians, but those are exceptions. Lots more red flags, but you get the idea. So you've done your homework and still haven't come up with a clinician who is menopause savvy, takes your insurance, and has an appointment in the next 5 years. Now what? Should you try and educate your own doctor who doesn't appear to be a menopause expert? Maybe bring them articles to read so that he or she will be more comfortable prescribing hormone therapy, or suggest to them that they listen to my podcast. The short answer is no. Even if your doctor was receptive to you educating them, which they won't be, reading an article or two is not suddenly going to make them a hormone expert. If you're seeing someone that seems pretty knowledgeable, but for example, is not on board with prescribing estrogen since you had a blood clot during pregnancy, it's not unreasonable to show them an article that transdermal estrogen may be safe, but it's all in how you present it. If you say, "You are clearly clueless. Please read this article," I guarantee that conversation will not go well. If you say, "I'm sure you've already read this article, but I'm interested in your take on it," they're more likely to take a look and either tell you why they still think you're not a candidate or maybe even change their position. What about springing for a high-profile concierge doctor? The short answer is maybe. Just because someone is concierge and charges a lot doesn't mean they're an expert. They may just be popular, very entrepreneurial, and selling everything but expertise. You still have to do your due diligence. But sometimes someone is concierge because they have a high level of expertise and choose to limit their practice so they can deliver a different level of care. If you can afford it, it may be well worth an additional fee to have an expert's undivided attention for a full hour consultation, along with direct access when you have questions. But before you blast those greedy doctors who only treat those that can afford it, let me give you my perspective. For the majority of my professional career, I provided care to all comers and took all insurance. As my expertise grew, so did my frustration. I was incredibly stressed seeing a patient every 15 minutes. I talked fast, but there was no way I could provide enough education to have a shared decision-making consultation with a discussion of all options. So I started a concierge menopause practice. I took insurance, but my patients paid an annual fee. It allowed me to spend a full hour at every visit, and I was able to give much better care. Now, I initially had a hard time justifying seeing only women that were well-to-do enough to afford it. But then I considered that between my podcasts, online articles, and social media, I was giving information and education to far more women than I could see even if I saw patients 7 days a week. My books are all under $10. My podcasts are free. Free. To that point, recently, the New York Times published an article on Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a gynecologist and author of The New Menopause. Without getting into the details of the article, there was a mention that she charged $1,500 an hour for a consultation. Many of the comments just blasted her for charging that amount instead of just taking what insurance offered. Let's think about this. Dr. Haver's book costs $17. Anyone can buy it for less than the cost of lunch. You can borrow it for free from your local library. She has millions of followers on social media and 7 days a week doles out the same information she gives patients in her office, which anyone can access for free. She appears on other people's podcasts, which anyone can listen to for free. Does your personal physician who takes insurance spend 20 plus hours a week giving out free education? Did your personal physician write a book on menopause, which anyone can purchase? With rare exception, I know the answer to that question is no. So whether you agree with her advice or not is beside the point. Dr. Haver, along with many other menopause experts, dole out tons of pro bono menopause education and reach far more people than if they were to run a traditional office that took everyone's insurance. Now, I appreciate that this seems like a huge and unfair barrier to the average patient, but let's be honest. Even if high-profile docs did run a traditional office that accepted all forms of insurance, the wait would be years to get in, so the average person would never get an appointment anyway. But just to back up, you do not need to see a concierge doctor to get good care. I promise if you follow the guidelines I've just given you, you will know how to find amazing experts that you will have access to and take your insurance, even if they're not household names. Start with the Menopause Society list, check out academic medical centers, and then spend some time on websites of promising possibilities. Okay, so you've looked high and low and you simply do not have access to a menopause expert. You may live in a small town where your insurance may keep you locked into a particular group of physicians. The only doctor you have access to is clueless or just dismissive. And that's where telehealth comes in. I used to be dead set against telehealth, but I've completely changed. In a perfect world, every perior postmenopause woman would have access to a menopause expert in the neighborhood who takes insurance. But let's be real. For over 90% of the population, that doesn't exist. And telehealth has filled that gap. But not all telehealth companies are equal. So you want to know what you're signing up for. There are two general categories of menopause telehealth. Category one are telehealth companies that require a monthly membership fee, are not covered by insurance, and offer a limited menu of products. They may claim to provide healthcare, and some do give good information, but others are essentially online pharmacies that sell a limited number of products. Category two are telehealth companies that provide healthcare and take insurance. Many companies are now offering this as an employee benefit. These companies are no different than going to a doctor's office, but you can have a virtual appointment and meet on Zoom with your personal clinician from your home office or car. You usually will meet with an advanced practice nurse or physician who has extensive training and expertise in menopause and will walk through all of the different options for your symptoms. If you need a prescription, it will be sent to your pharmacy just as a traditional doctor's office would. Full disclosure, I'm the medical director of community education and outreach for MIDI Health, so obviously I think they do a really good job. Telehealth companies get an A for convenience and may also get an A for expertise that you would not have access to. The downside of telehealth is there are times when you're going to need an exam. For example, if you're having persistent pain with sex despite treatment, or if you're experiencing bleeding, telehealth is no longer an option. Persistent vulvar itch? A crotch selfie? Not going to cut it. The good telehealth companies will collaborate with your doctor or facilitate a referral. The bad ones just say, you're on your own. Make an appointment with a gynecologist. I hope this was useful and didn't confuse you more. And you can go to substack.com/@Dr. Stryker for my list of specific questions to ask and potential answers you might get that are pretty good indications that the person you're seeing is an actual expert. Finally, and most important, if you're not given solutions for your dryness, pain, and insomnia, it doesn't mean that there are no solutions. It just means you need to see someone else. So take it from me. There are many outstanding menopause experts out there, and you only need to find one. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, and thank you for joining me. You will find lots more information in my Insight Information books available on Amazon.com. And follow Francie as she navigates her way through vaginal dryness, hot flashes, and pretty much every menopausal symptom you can think of.
Understand the flashes. and the feeling dry as sand. My body was on pause, it wasn't taking calls. Then Francie took me by the hand. She told me all these things that I can do, and why it is that sometimes I feel blue. Through the night, I find